Once I gave the elves in the holding room the okay, they sent in Bim and Norp. I had wanted to see them separately, but they weren't going to stand for that. I guess they figured there was safety in numbers. Having them together meant I'd actually have to deal with them less, and that was appealing to me. I was back in full Bart Starr mode when they walked into the room. Even from across the library, I could tell from the way they shuffled reluctantly toward me, they were none too happy to talk to me. I stood waiting for them, impatiently tapping my foot. I've seen sloths at the zoo move faster, and they probably smell better, too. Truthfully, I've never actually smelled a sloth. There are some things you can just assume. I positioned two chairs across from my own. I could have rearranged them numerous times before Bim and Norp reached me. I don't usually want to shoot people, but at that moment, they were very lucky I didn't have my gun. I was reasonably certain they had tried to kill me at least twice in the last 2 days, but my disdain for them went beyond that. It was as if my very DNA was programmed to be repelled by them. I motioned to the chairs.
Gentlemen, please sit.
We prefer to stand.
Yes!
This was a power play on their part. That's part of the reason they wanted to come in together. They figured they had me outnumbered. I wasn't about to let them get away with it, but for now I'd play it cool.
Have it your way.
What do you want from us?
I just want to talk.
Nobody ever wants to talk with us. At least not to carry out an actual conversation. They just want us to help and go away.
I'm interested in learning why you fine chaps came to the pole.
Stress
relief. Vacation. The pole is a high-tech wonder.
A marvel.
Certainly your homes on Mars are just as high-tech.
True.
Affirmative.
Then there's another reason.
The food.
Love the eats.
Elves can cook.
Sure can.
They both had beads of sweat forming on their brows. Even without Harv, I could tell they weren't lying, but they were holding back. It wasn't easy for them. Unlike the councilwoman, they weren't pros at this.
What about Nova?
Who?
Nova, the muscular but gorgeous pro wrestler on the tour.
Oh, that's her name.
Now that you mention it, she does sound familiar.
She is a very sturdy woman.
I've seen better, but I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating soy crackers.
Norp elbowed Bim playfully. They were their own biggest fans. That was all I could take. I reached down and pressed the deactivate button on my holodisguise.
Zachary Nixon Johnson?
Oh, your reputation really does precede you.
Enough games, boys.
I pushed my chest out and moved toward them. It wasn't exactly a threatening move, just one that was quicker than a non-threatening one. They immediately sank back into their chairs.
Please don't hurt us.
It was his idea.
What was his idea?
Getting the bots to attack you. We wanted Nova all to ourselves. We were jealous.
They are telling the truth.
How'd you reprogram the bots?
Norp reached up on his head, pulled out a strand of green hair, and showed it to me.
My hair is actually a remote transmitter. It allows us to reprogram the bots.
Pretty clever.
The dandruff even acts as a signal booster.
More info than I need there.
Just then, Santana came in, accompanied by Elf One and three other security elves. Santana's face was redder than her suit. She stormed up to the two meshes.
How dare you kill my elves!
And attack me.
That too. Number one, deactivate the bots and place these two under arrest.
With pleasure, madam. Santana, the bots aren't responding.
They are responding. To us.
Right about then, four guard bots rolled into the room.
Huh. This can't be good.
That was our warning shot. Our weapons are activated. We suggest you surrender now.
Santana, the elves, and I dove for cover behind the chairs.
They are not surrendering. Fire!
We tried to do this peacefully, but you forced our hands!
We were hoping it wouldn't come to this, but so be it.
I suggest we make a hasty farewell and exit.
I agree.
I peeked over a chair. The bots were holding their places until Bim and Norp got out of the line of fire. I wasn't sure if this was because they didn't want to accidentally shoot Bim or Norp, or it was because the bots were a little slow in planning their attack. They had us outnumbered and outgunned, but these were guard bots, not attack bots or battle bots. That gave us a chance. I turned to Santana, who was taking cover behind the same chair I was.
Santana, can you control them?
Normally, yes, but something is blocking me.
Do you still have communication with the rest of the pole?
Yes, I'm not sure how that helps.
Well, it doesn't hurt. Is the holding room behind us secure?
Yes, only the councilwoman and Mrs. Billings are in there.
Let's join them. We'll plan from there. Let them know we're coming.
Check.
Then what?
We make a break for the door. A very fast break.
The three other security elves shook their heads no.
If this is going to work, you'll need a distraction.
Agreed.
No, it's too dangerous.
It's the only way.
The middle elf made a fist and extended it. The other two elves made fists and put them on top of his.
For Santana!
For Santana!
One for all and all for Santana!
One for all and all for Santana!
They turned to us and pointed toward the door in the back of the room. That was our cue.
Stay low and go.
The three elves took off one way and I went the other, pulling Santana and Elf One with me. We raced toward the door. I didn't look back. I couldn't. What was behind us didn't matter now. The elves had sacrificed themselves, and I had to make sure it was worth something. If I was going to get cut down from behind, so be it. The side doors that lined the room, those were a different story. I couldn't let us get ambushed there. We drew closer to the back door. I pushed Santana and Elf One ahead of me. It wasn't that difficult, as they were both faster than I was. While keeping the center of my vision focused on the target, the door ahead, I used quick glances to the left and right to see if there were any surprises. It was a good thing I did. There were two guard bots rolling in, one from each side. This room had a lot of doors. I looked at the door we were rushing toward. We were still 25 meters away and in open space. We'd be easy pickings for the bots.
Harp! How good is the holo detection on these bots?
Not good at all, since technically holograms aren't allowed up here.
That gave me an idea. As we raced toward the door, Alf 1 signaled the councilwoman and Mrs. Billings not to open the door for anyone or anything that wasn't us. We got within 10 meters of the door, so close we could almost feel it. That's when all tweet broke out. The bots closed in on us, catching us in a crossfire. Alf 1 was the first to take it, a killing blast right to the chest that cut a hole clean through him. Santana was the next to go down. It was a clean, high-powered shot to the head. Maybe a more advanced GE like Tua Thompson would have been able to survive, but Santana was dead before she even hit the ground. I was the bot's next target. Apparently, they were saving me for last. First, one of them shot out my right leg. The other one shot out my left leg. They rolled up so close, they were practically touching me.
It will be such a pleasure to kill you, Zachary Nixon Johnson. We want to see the look on your face when you die.
You wouldn't believe how often I hear that.
What? Who said that? Oh, Doss, we've been tricked.
Finally, they had realized they hadn't cut us down. They'd cut down holographic projections of us. Meanwhile, the real us had gotten the drop on them with a holographic cloak. Before the bots had a chance to react, we lit into them.
This isn't it. You're messing with my elves.
Well, that takes care of that.
Of course, since nothing can be easy, three more guard bots rolled into the room.
For the love of circuitry, what have you done?
Santana, Zach, I think we'd better move fast.
Let it go, Santana, so we can get out of here.
You're right.
She picked up the bot and spun it over her head. She turned and threw it at the remaining bots who were powering up to charge us. The dead bot flew into the others, causing them to separate. This was the last break we needed as we made our way to the door.
It's Santana! Let us in!
Elf One shot through first. Santana made her way next, followed by me. Along with Mrs. Billings and Councilwoman Weathers, we were now in a small private reading room. There was one long couch and a couple of computer terminals with gold tinsel lining the tops of the walls.
Quick! Help me move the couch to barricade the door!
I looked around. The door we came in was the only way in and out of the room. On one hand, that was good. The bots weren't able to sneak up on us. On the other hand, the only way out was covered with bots. Bots that wanted to kill us.
There are 200 bots here. That means we outnumber them 50-1. In hand-to-claw combat, we can take them out.
The casualties would be high. We at Holograms had luck on our side. The others won't.
No, I've already lost 5 elves to these things. There has got to be a better way.
The electromagnetic pulse generator.
The pole has an EMPG?
Yes. It's top secret. It's located in the backup control room for use in case of pirate attack. It would deactivate their ships.
The device can be modified to shut the bots down. I can signal my elf team to modify and activate the device. Oh, sugar.
What's the problem?
None of my team is currently located in the backup control room. Security cameras show there are bots outside the backup control room. We can make a run for it, but it would be costly.
There are no bots in the room, correct?
No.
I looked around the room. I saw what I was looking for along the top of the wall near the ceiling. I pointed to the heating ducts.
Those are connected everywhere, aren't they?
Everybody smiled. The heating ducts weren't big, but they were large enough for an average man to crawl around in. They would certainly have enough room for an elf.
Send your team through the heating ducts.
Brilliant!
I like it. We have a minor problem. It would take 10 minutes to reprogram the EMPG.
That's too long. The bots would kill them before they finished. There has to be a better way.
Can your elves get to an armory for some weapons?
We have no weapons.
The one thing I've learned in life is that the easy way is never the way I get to go. Somehow, some way, I knew this was going to fall on my shoulders.
I have an idea. If somebody gives me the passwords and the specs, I can reprogram the EMPG in about a nano.
Now that could work.
I knew that meant I was going to have to crawl through the vents. Not exactly how I planned to spend my day, but hey, it beat dying.
Okay.
I walked toward the vent.
Let's get this over with.
First, I'd better disable the vent security code.
Santana held Elf-1 to the vent. With the vent open, Santana lowered Elf-1. She looked at me.
Next!
I moved forward and stood under the vent. I'm 2 meters tall, but even with my arms extended, the vent opening was still a good meter out of my reach. I looked over my shoulder at the group looking me over.
I could jump.
This is not a problem.
Santana, I'm not a 50-kilo elf.
I weigh 54 kilos.
I'm not a 54-kilo elf.
Turn around and reach for the sky. Whoop!
I stretched my arms upward. Santana was lifting me as if I were a 15-kilo elf. I grabbed the edge of the vent, and I pulled myself in. I looked down the vent. It was a long, reflective metallic tube that went on as far as I could see, kind of like a midget's hall of mirrors. It was just wide enough for me to crawl in, but I didn't have much wiggle room. I wouldn't be doing any push-ups in there. All in all, though, one of the nicer vents I'd ever been in. I started crawling forward.
Harv, you can lead me to the control room, right?
With the hundreds of kilometers of ducts in this place, you would have very little chance of finding it without me.
A simple yes would suffice.
Yes.
A red beam projected from my eye. It stretched down the duct for maybe 300 meters, and then turned to the right.
Just follow the red beam.
Being a smart guy, I did as I was told. I tagged along the beam, following it down this vent until it hung to the right. It went straight for a bit, then left, right, right, up, right, left, down, reverse, and then to the right. Actually, I had no idea. I stopped keeping track about a nano into the trip. I knew Harv would lead me the best way. I was fairly confident there wouldn't be a pop quiz afterward. The important thing was for me to get there ASAP. It felt like I crawled for a couple of hours. Harv would later insist that it was only 17 minutes and 22 seconds when I finally came to the grate above the control room. I looked down through the slits in the grate into the room. The walls were lined with sensors, screens, and machines of all sizes. I didn't recognize much. I was betting that Harv knew exactly which of the myriad devices was the EMP generator. There were no bots in the room, but that didn't mean they weren't right outside the door waiting to spring a trap.
Harv, are there any bots outside in the hall?
Not at the present. There are two patrolling up and down the hallway, but currently neither is within 100 meters of the door.
This struck me as strange. If Norp and Bim intended to hold the pole, surely they would have had this room better secured. Unless, of course, they didn't know about the EMPG. But that didn't fit their MO. The two of them were ultra geeks, and they lived for stuff like that. It was highly classified and secured, but that would only entice them more. This had to be a trap. I was thinking too much again. Trap or not, if we were going to shut down the bots and stop Bim and Norp, I had to do this. I gave the top of the grate a quick jab with my elbow. Now I had another problem, getting out of the vent. I would have to either plummet headfirst to the ground, or backtrack a bit, turn around, and then back my way out of the vent feet first.
Where's the nearest point I can turn around?
You'd have to crawl backward for at least 100 meters before you could turn around and crawl backward to where you are now. You should have thought of this sooner, Zach.
You should have thought of this sooner, Harv. You're the computer. It's your job to think of these things.
It's only a 3-meter drop. I didn't realize you'd be such a baby about it. Besides, I thought you'd want to see where you were going.
I didn't have time to position myself to land feet first. I looked down. It wasn't that high. I've certainly fallen from much greater heights and lived to get people to buy me drinks while I talked about it. Still, it was gonna hurt. The moment I hit the floor, I'd be like a beetle on its back, helpless. However, unlike the beetle, I'd be able to right myself. I slid out of the vent. It hurt, but I'd been hurt worse, shaving. Really. I pushed myself up. The door to the room flew open. Two guard bots rolled in.
Aw, Tweet. Another fine mess you've gotten me into, Ollie.
You don't need my help getting into messes, Stanley.
I was proud that he got the reference. I was less than pleased to be under attack. I stayed low and scrambled across the floor, using a table that traversed the middle of the room for cover. I instinctively headed forward. I don't know why.
Zach, I've tapped into the control room surveillance cameras. I can see your assailants even when you can't. One's moving to the left, one to the right.
Now I knew they were trying to set me up in a crossfire. Guardbots just love crossfires. There are times when having a supercomputer wired to your brain is a good thing. I rolled under the table just before laser fire tore up the spot where I'd been lying on the floor. I needed a plan, and fast. Fighting the bots mano a bato didn't seem like it was going to work this time, even if I used a holographic cover. The bots knew my general location, and the room was small enough that they'd be able to take me out with sporadic fire.
Harv, can you remotely reprogram the EMPG?
Of course. Though for me to override its firewalls, you'll have to be looking directly at it from no more than 2 meters away.
That sounded like something I could pull off. The problem was, in all this scrambling for my life business, wasn't able to pinpoint where I was in the room in relation to the EMPG.
I suppose you have no idea where you are right now.
I have a general idea. Somewhere between the pole and death.
I rolled to the left just as two more laser shots burned the place I'd just been.
Lucky for you, you have me.
Right now, Harv, luck isn't the word I'd use.
By sheer accident, you are quite near the EMPG. It's merely 3 meters to your left.
A flashing red arrow pointing to the left appeared in front of my eyes. A picture of the device appeared next to it. It didn't look all that daunting, kind of like a box with a plastic lid on it. Another, smaller arrow appeared, pointing at the lid.
I'll turn off all the failsafes for you as you head toward it. You just need to flip the safety lid, then push the button to fire it off.
I cocked my head to the left. I could see the EMPG out of the corner of my eye.
I don't suppose you could push the button for me.
Sorry, there are some things you still have to do yourself. If not, I wouldn't need you to solve cases. Zach, I'm doing the hard work. All you have to do is flip a lid and hit a switch. Easy as counting to one.
I also have to dodge laser fire.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up. I'm trying to have a positive cognitive attitude here.
Speaking of the laser fire, something was wrong. There hadn't been any in the last 30 seconds. If I was an optimist and a fool, I would have assumed that the guard bots had run out of charges. I'm not that optimistic, foolish, or nearly that fortunate. I knew it had to be something else.
The bots are rolling into a better position now, aren't they?
Affirmative. It appears their logic is to not waste charges when they know exactly where you are heading.
I peeked to the side of the table again. Sure enough, there were two bot bases positioned on either side of where I now knew the device was. The nano I made my move, they would blast me.
You have to give them credit for conserving energy.
Oh yeah, I feel much better knowing I'll be killed by environmentally conscientious tin cans.
Zach, they don't make bots out of tin. At least not killer bots like these.
I don't suppose I could wait them out.
They are bots. They have no need to eat, drink, or use the bathroom. They don't get bored. They can outweigh you.
I was joking, Harv.
Oh, right. I should have caught that.
Maybe you could tell them some Rodney Dangerfield jokes to distract them.
Zach, they are guard bots. They have no sense of humor. Plus, I've run my course with Mr. Dangerfield's unique brand of humor. I'm now looking for new inspiration. Care to make a suggestion?
Tell you what, Harv. If I live through this, I'll help you find one.
Deal.
Now that I had an extra reason to live, I needed a plan, and I needed it fast. The longer I sat pinned down, the more time Norp and Bim had to get away. I didn't like that at all. I was pretty sure I would like being shot even less. I took inventory of my assets. I had my wits, my muscle, and my computer. What I wouldn't have given for a good blaster in my body armor. Well, it was no use crying over milk that hadn't even been poured. I was gonna have to make do with what I had. I knew the nano I stood up from under the table, the bots were gonna blast me. I could use that to my advantage. Maybe I could trick the bots by positioning a hologram of myself between them. Then they would blast each other. I readied myself for my big move. I pushed up slightly from the ground.
Zach, the bots have just activated their holographic detection software.
I let myself sink back to the ground. They won't fire on my hologram.
Nope, the old let 'em shoot each other through the hologram trick won't work here. They are now smart enough to identify a hologram.
I smiled. That was it. It's amazing where you can get inspiration from.
Zack, your pleasure-sensing endorphin levels just raised. You're happy about something. Gee, Zack, I never realized you had a death wish. Though that would explain a lot. Your choice of career, your taste in women, your taste in clothing.
What's wrong with my taste in clothing?
Zack, this isn't the time.
All right. I have a plan.
Does it involve being shot a few times and dying a painful death?
No. I want you to cover me with an exact hologram of myself.
Zack, they won't shoot... They won't shoot at the hologram.
Hey, for a supercomputer, you catch on fast.
The bots will stall, but only for a split nano before they realize that the real you is under the hologram.
It's either that or wait for the warranty on the bots to expire.
You are attempting to be humorous again, correct?
I didn't even bother to answer that. If I stayed under this table, my legs would cramp up. Then it would be even harder for me to move to the EMPG. Get me covered, Harv?
Affirmative. Do you want to know your odds of succeeding?
You know me, Harv. I never want to know the odds. I pushed myself up, shot out from under the table, and raced toward the EMPG device. In my peripheral vision, I saw the bots tracking me and aiming their gun turrets at me. I reached the device.
He is only a hologram. I concur.
I smashed my elbow down, shattering the protective glass that was covering the EMPG trigger switch.
A hologram should not be able to do that.
I lifted my elbow up quickly and flipped the trigger down.
He is not...
I turned toward the bots. They were slumped over. They looked like old slinkies that had lost their slink. Harv, are you still with me? Harv?
Oh, now that was an experience I don't care to repeat.
Don't you have EMP protection?
Of course I do. Dr. Poole thought of everything.
And why'd you bug out on me?
Zack, I just took a hit from a very powerful EMPG machine at point-blank range. It's the biological equivalent of you standing on a nuclear device just as it's being detonated.
Oh. Sorry.
No need to mindlessly apologize. I am not one of the women in your life. The bottom line is, I took a blow that would have knocked 99.9999% of the machines on Earth offline for an indefinite amount of time. I was down for less than a nano. You should thank Dr. Poole when we see him again.
I'll make a note of it. I started to the door. Right then, I had two different geeks on my mind, Norp and Bim. I needed to catch up with them and get a little payback. Something wasn't sitting right in my gut, though. Yes, Norp and Bim were socially inept and as annoying as pop-up holograms, but that didn't make them killers. Even if they were killers, what did they gain by shutting down the pole? They didn't strike me as the kind of guys who were prone to random acts of violence. In fact, they didn't strike me as the kind of guys who did anything randomly. They had no motive and nothing to gain, which meant that something bigger was afoot. I just didn't know what. I reached the door. I walked into it. If anybody else had been around, it really would have hurt my credibility as a tough guy.
Oh, the doors are computer controlled.
Yeah, I remember that about a nano after my nose rammed into it. Can you open the door?
I can.
I've pointed to a panel on the wall next to the door.
So can you.
I lifted the cover off the panel, revealing a small hand crank. I started cranking, raising the door about a centimeter each turn. I couldn't put knobs on the doors?
You are so old-fashioned.
And proud of it. After a minute or two of cranking, the door was open enough for me to bend down and duck through it. I entered the hallway. I wanted to track down the geeks ASAP. The angrier I was when I found them, the better. I also wanted to be the first one to find them. I didn't know why, I just knew I did.
Which way to the port pad?
Follow the arrows.
A green arrow appeared in front of my eye, heading north down the hallway. I followed it. I hurriedly traced the arrow through the abandoned corridors. It was a bit eerie. I knew it wouldn't be long until the elves and the others knew the coast was clear and worked their way into the halls. I quickened my pace. I needed to be the one to find Bim and Norp so I could talk to them alone. A few minutes later, Harv's guided tour led me to a big metal door. The arrow Harv was leading me with started to vibrate and flash as it pointed to the door. I take it that's the transport room.
Very good, Zack.
Harv, can you open the door for me?
Of course.
Harv?
I can't magically open the door, Zack. You have to bend down and look into the key pass slot.
Well, why didn't you say so?
I thought you knew.
How would I?
Zack, we've done this type of thing 7 different times.
Hey, whose side are you on, anyhow?
They are trapped in a teleport room. They aren't going anywhere. I'm trying to condition you to think better.
It's your job to do what I ask you to do, not make me a better person.
I'd like to believe the parameters for my job description are open to interpretation.
I bent down and peered into the key pass slot, right above the door's handle. A beam of red light shot out from my eye into the slot.
The door is now open. No need to thank me.
I turned the handle slowly, cracking the door ajar. Peering into the room, I saw Bimmit Norp standing by the teleport pad. They both had small duffel bags in their hands, which they were pushing each other with. It didn't take my trained mind to know they were mad at each other. They were sweating so profusely they had to keep removing and drying their thick glasses. Their green and blue hair was even more unkempt than usual. With their small, stocky bodies, big hands, and bigger feet, I might have found them funny if they hadn't just tried to kill me.
This is your fault, Norm. How is this my fault? You're the one who insisted on packing an extra toothbrush. Why, you little twerp! Watch who you're talking to, Buster, before I bust you!
I walked into the room. They were so involved in their little nerd lover's quarrel, they didn't even notice me.
How long have you two been married?
They turned and focused on me for a nano. Then they turned their attention back to each other.
This is your fault!
No, this is your fault!
I really hope you guys are going to come quietly.
They exchanged glances.
We have him outnumbered. 2-1.
He fights for a living.
I don't fight for a living. I solve crimes for a living. Breaking a bone or two now and then just comes with the territory. I think of it as a fringe benefit.
They exchanged glances again. Each of them raised an eyebrow. I knew that look. Bim made a fist and lunged at me, swinging wildly. I ducked under his punch, sprung up, and clocked him with a left uppercut to the jaw. I looked at Norb. He looked at Bim.
Serves him right for bullying me.
Now, are you gonna come quietly?
Norp reached into his pocket protector and pulled out an old-fashioned pen. I looked at it. He looked at me looking at it.
What are you gonna do? Give me ink poisoning?
He reached forward and pulled the top off the pen, revealing a sharp knife underneath. He threw the top over his shoulder and proceeded to wave the penknife at me.
Not so brave now, are you, Johnson?
In my profession, I've had to deal with knives on many different occasions. They're like any other weapon and not to be taken lightly. From close range and in the hands of a skilled practitioner, they can be just as deadly as a blaster or a handgun. The keywords of that sentence being skilled practitioner. I saw that Norp was about to lunge at me, so I took a step back. When he missed, he overcommitted his weight on his right side and stumbled forward. I grabbed his knife arm at the wrist and twisted. While at the same time, giving him a little push forward. I let his own momentum carry him down face first into the floor. To add injury to injury, I let myself fall on him, my knee into his lower back. I pinned his right arm behind his back in the classic chicken wing position.
Now, let's talk.
Oh, talking is good.
Why'd you do it?
Do what?
Don't get cute with me. Why did you do it?
Draw the knife on you?
No! Why'd you reprogram the bots to kill the elves?
Oh, that. We had to do it. For the good of the world, and to impress the babes.
Huh?
Santana, man! She has to be stopped!
Why?
Well, you must know what she's trying to do.
No! Talk!
Santana, she's up to no good. Actually, she's probably up to too much good.
Too much good?
No. It's just that she wants to make the world a better place.
How is that bad?
Making the world better isn't bad, but her means to the end are quite questionable. She believes the end justifies her means.
Get to the point.
Zack.
Not now, Harv.
Behind you.
I turned, just in time to see Bim standing over me with a chair raised over his head. But before he could hit me with it, he flew to the other side of the room. Santana had arrived, and she was as angry as a super elf could be. I stood up to let her deal with Norp. She picked him up, stormed over to where Bim was laying on the floor, and picked him up as well.
How dare you treat Zack like that in my home!
Listen, Santana.
She slammed Bim and Norp's heads together, knocking them both out. Then she turned to me, smiling.
Thanks for your help, Zack. My elves and I will handle these malcontents from here.
It was about an hour after I trekked back to my room that the elves managed to get power back up at the pole. Another hour after that, they were able to get the bots back under their control and online. During those hours, I had time to think. Elf One and Santana both insisted that the case was over, and I should be happy and proud of another job well done. Elf One even gave me a pat on the back. Santana promised me a 5% bonus for wrapping the case up so quickly. But something about this case was still gnawing at me. Harv insisted that it was just acid reflux and the feeling would go away if I let him release acid blockers into my system. I didn't. This was deeper than any acid reflux. I lay flat on my bed, hands behind my head, staring up at the ceiling lights, just thinking. Something didn't add up. What was Bim and Norp's motive? They were annoying, but they weren't mindless drones. They wouldn't want to kill a couple of elves and shut down the pole unless they had a reason. A reason to risk everything. And to impress the babes?
Why are you sulking now, Zack? You wrapped up the case and didn't get killed. Doss, you barely got beat up. For you, that's a 3D red letter day.
Something doesn't add up, Harv. This is all too easy. What did Norp mean by Santana is too good?
I don't know. He was probably just ranting, trying to justify the awful things he did.
I don't think so. Tell Santana I want to talk to Bim and Norp again.
Santana says you can talk to them tomorrow, before they are deported back to Mars.
Why tomorrow?
Her elves need time to interrogate them, to learn about the weaknesses they exploited in the bots.
Can you lead me to the place Bim and Norp are being held?
Actually, I can't do that.
You can't, or you won't?
I am unable to find where they are keeping Bim and Norp.
Harv, doesn't that strike you as strange?
We're at the pole investigating the death of two elves, fighting robots, and mutants from Mars. Everything about this case strikes me as strange.
Doesn't this seem even more out of the ordinary than usual? Harv looked down at the floor, then slowly raised his head until we were looking eye to simulated eye.
It does, but I've been connected to you so long, I may be getting paranoid.
I headed toward the door. Or smarter.
I sincerely doubt that. Where are you going?
Right to the source. I'm going to talk to Santana. Much to my surprise, when I opened the door, there was a guard bot facing me. Out of pure instinct, I hurled myself to the ground. The guard bot rolled into the room.
Mr. Johnson, we need to talk.
Bim?
And Norp.
I stood up. I was careful to place a table between myself and the bot. What's the meaning of this?
As much as we despise you, we are smart enough to realize that we have to say this.
Help us, Zachary Nixon Johnson. You're our only hope.
For one of the few times in my career, both Harv and I were speechless. I didn't know what to make of this. It did reinforce my belief that Bim and Norp believed that Santana was up to something. So, what's Santana planning?
To change the world to her image.
Now, how is she planning to do that?
The elves have invented a virus that attacks the pain and anxiety centers of the brain and eliminates them. She's planning on making everybody permanently happy.
And that's a bad thing because...
Everyone will be happy, mindless zombies.
I pondered that. Would the world really be that much different if we were all happy, mindless zombies? We are governed by our wants and desires. Currently, a lot of those wants and desires enter our minds through bullying big businesses and the relentless media. Would things really be that much worse if Bim and Norp were right? It wasn't my call. But it wasn't Santana's call either. If it was true, it'd be my job to stop her. Okay, I'll talk to Santana. And if what you say is true, I'll shut her down.
It gets worse!
Worse than totally reprogramming the minds of everybody on Earth?
This is a two-stage plan.
Santana always was an overachiever.
This is where we come in. We designed a virus that would sterilize 99% of humanity and make them lose interest in sex. Within a few generations, humans would no longer be able to or want to reproduce.
Oh, that's not good. Why would a goody-two-shoes like Santana want to wipe out most of humanity?
She doesn't want to wipe you out. Just replace you with clones. She's convinced the world will be a better place this way. She mumbled something about being naughty makes people do stupid things.
Are the elves on board with this idea?
As far as we can tell, no. Santana convinced the elves they were developing the niceness virus as an exercise to test their abilities.
Then how is Santana gonna pull this off without the elves?
We have no idea.
Why should I believe you two? Didn't you guys try to kill me? A couple of times?
Yes! But that's when we thought you'd make it harder for us to score with Nova! Or that during your investigative reporting you would turn up something and somehow foil Santana and steal our spotlight. Remember, we thought you were a big blonde blogger? But now we're in jail and know who you are, so we have no reason to lie.
Why would you be involved in this in the first place?
To impress chicks?
Yeah, to impress the babes.
Our goal was to trick Santana into thinking that we were on her side. Then we would shut her down, saving the day, and the babes would flock to us.
So, you guys killed the elves?
We only killed a couple. And just to scare them into delaying the holiday long enough so we could get the bots totally reprogrammed to shut Santana down. It was for the greater good. Kill a couple of elves to save the world.
It wasn't the best plan I'd ever heard. In fact, it was probably one of the 10 worst plans I've heard. Even still, men have done far stupider things to impress women. Santana was onto something. Being naughty does make us stupid. Now they had a motive that fit their M.O. I was reasonably sure they believed what they were saying. The scary thing was, I believed it too. I've been around enough superwomen to know that when you mess around with DNA and PMS, you're just asking for trouble. Don't get me wrong, supermen are just as dangerous, but they're far easier to predict. Men want three things: money, power, and women. Most of them figure if they get one of the first two, they can get the third thing. All men want to be the alpha male, the king of the hill, the big cheese. Women are an entirely different game. For the most part, they don't want power for the sake of power. They want power to make things better. This isn't always a bad thing, but when you supercharge it and toss in some fluctuating hormones, the result is often as messy as Bim's and Norp's hair and complexion. It becomes a pseudo-Machiavellian quest to make the world a better place. Was Santana on one of those quests? I wasn't going to rule it out.
I'll check on it.
That's all we ask.
And that you give us our due when all this is over.
Oh, don't worry. You'll get exactly what's coming to you.
Good enough.
The bot rolled backward out of the room, leaving me with my thoughts. If Santana really was bad, I had to stop her. I was gonna need backup.
Harf, talk to Captain Ricky and Randy and notify them of our current situation.
All transmissions out of the pole are being jammed. Santana's elves say it's only a temporary security measure. They want to be cautious, just in case Bim and Norp had accomplices.
So right now, my assets are still my wits, my fists, and my computer.
If Santana really has gone overboard, you're going to need more than 2 out of 3 here. I estimate she's almost as strong as any of the Thompson Quads. Her pheromones are just as powerful. She can twist you into a pretzel before you can say, "Please hurt me some more."
I think we can count on Nova as an asset.
I won't disagree with you there. She's just whacked enough to jump aboard this runaway train heading downhill toward the TND with no brakes. She has such an act-first, think-later way about her. I'm betting she has a great career in politics in front of her.
Wow, buddy. I'm proud of the deduction and the metaphors.
The metaphors are not because I am becoming like you. They are because I am communicating with you. The deduction is, well, good sense is good sense.
I'm still proud.
Don't go all mushy on me, Zach. We're in trouble here. When the spit hits the fan, though, you're going to need more help.
I had nothing to lose. So I sat on my bed and started concentrating.
Zach, what are you doing? This is no time to go all new age and mellow out on me.
I'm thinking.
Huh, no wonder I didn't recognize what you were doing.
I ignored Harv and concentrated on one thought.
Carol, send help.
I knew it was a long shot, but this was a time for long shots.
I need to talk with Santana.
I can net you with her.
No, I want to do it in person, and I need to talk to her alone.
She says she can meet you in her room in 30 minutes.
No, I want to do it someplace neutral.
She says she can meet you in the library in 45 minutes.
I'll take it.
Oh, great. You've had such a history of good luck at the library.
When I arrived at the library, Santana wasn't there yet. I sat in one of the cloud chairs. I crossed my legs, but it didn't feel right. I uncrossed them and sat forward. I was nervous, but I didn't know why, and that made me more nervous. Part of me wanted to believe the case was all wrapped up. Bim and Norp were the deranged bad guy nerds who wanted to stop the holiday because they're unpopular spammers. Another part of me, the annoying part, kept telling me this case was far from over. Sure, Bim and Norp were annoying, but they weren't the true culprits here. This case went beyond simply saving the holiday. I sat for a few minutes alone with my thoughts. I noticed that Harv wasn't chiming in with his opinion. This was very out of character.
Harv, why are you so quiet?
I looked up to see two guard bots rolling in. My initial thought was that the appearance of the guard bots combined with Harv going silent was bad news. I didn't want to jump to conclusions, at least not yet. The bots rolled closer. I stood up.
There is no need to fear us, Zachary Nixon Johnson.
I've learned from experience it's never a good sign when bots use your middle name. It's an even worse sign when they talk in unison. I dove back over the cloud chair a mere nano before the bots opened fire, ripping the chair in half. To sum up, I was trapped behind a cloud chair that was being rapidly shot apart by two guard bots. I was unarmed, unarmored, outnumbered, and my computer was down. It's possible I'd been in tighter situations, but none sprang immediately to mind. This was bad with a capital B-A-D. I was starting to see why libraries aren't so popular anymore. I didn't see, but I heard and felt, the explosion. The heat was searing. But that was a good thing because it meant I was still alive.
Those are not enough!
Through the smoke, I could see three figures. One, the most shapely of the three, had a missile launcher on her shoulder and was smiling. I'd recognize that smile even from 500 meters. It was Elektra. She was flanked by Randy and Tony. I got up and started dusting myself off as I headed over toward them.
What did I miss?
Oh, not much.
I reached Elektra and the other two.
So, what brings you guys up north?
Carol said she picked up thought waves that you were in big trouble.
Well, I guess she was wrong, wasn't she?
I used my clearance to get us here.
And I used my brain to rewire the new Frisco transporters to send us here.
I'm the best shot.
And the best looking.
Mwah. So, what's the story here?
Darce if I know, Tony.
Come on, Zach. You've been here for 48 hours. Surely you know something.
I don't know much.
Wow, he's finally admitting it.
I don't know much for certain, but I do know there's trouble afoot. The question is, how big?
That doesn't make me feel any better.
Welcome to my world, Tony.
As we left the library, I filled everybody in on the situation. Actually, I mostly advised them of what was going on. Harv did most of the real filling in. We told them everything. About the two dead elves, about the attacks on my life, dead elves, robots going berserk, nerds, more dead elves, about the EMPG, and about Bim and Norb. Everybody was shocked about the elves, but nobody was much surprised about anything else. Then we told them about what Bim and Norp had said, how Santana wasn't all sugar plums and spice like she appeared.
I find it hard to believe Santana could go bad.
I didn't say she might be bad, I said she might be a bit deranged. There's a difference.
Do you have any proof that what Bim and Norp are saying is true?
Nope. Hence the problem.
Didn't Bim and Norp admit to killing the elves?
They did.
Well, didn't they admit to trying to kill you?
Yeah, I was cramping their style.
So what makes you think they're not just covering their asses?
Tony, there are sensitive ears here.
Tony turned to Randy.
Sorry about my choice of words.
Randy grinned.
I don't think they're covering themselves because, well, I'm not sure.
It's another one of Zach's hunches.
The only thing I'm sure of is that I'm not sure of anything. I just know I can't take the chance that Bim and Norp aren't telling the truth. That's why we're going to talk to Santana now. They didn't know it was me.
Huh?
When I was attacked in my office by the bots and then Men in Black from the Santana Stink Society, Bim and Norp didn't know I'd be coming. They wouldn't have sent bots and a hitman to kill me.
There has got to be some explanation.
Oh, I'm sure there is. And I know just the meta person to give it.
Harv gave me directions to Santana's office. As I stormed forward, the others followed, occasionally slowing down and doing a double take when an elf went by. They were all amazed by the lights and the occasional holographic reindeer.
Wow. We're walking among elves.
Believe me, it wears thin real fast.
The closer we got to Santana's office, the more elves there were. The stairs lasted a lot longer and were much more palpable. These elves obviously weren't used to visitors coming into these parts of the pole, especially unregistered visitors. After twisting and turning down what seemed to be an endless labyrinth of holiday-filled hallways, we came to the long pink hallway with a door at the end. As we neared the door, we heard a voice from behind us.
Pink?
Think of it as light red.
Elf One slid past us and stood in front of me. He put his hand out for me to stop.
Mr. Johnson, you can't go any farther. Santana will see you after her meeting. We have very specific rules about all this.
Sorry, Elfie, but rules are made to be broken, especially if somebody tries to break me.
These people are unregistered and unauthorized to be here.
Well, when your bots tried to kill me again, I decided I needed more help.
He grabbed me by the shoulder. Before I could do anything, Elektra hit him with a snap kick to the stomach. That doubled him over.
Oh, at least she didn't go for my chestnuts.
Now, Zack, did you have to do that?
No. I just wanted to.
I turned and headed toward the door. I reached the door and wondered if I should knock politely, bang on it, or shoot the lock off. The door popped open before I could make my choice. I was a little disappointed by that. Santana was sitting in her office with Councilwoman Weathers. Santana smiled at me.
Zack, I'm so sorry. My meeting with the councilwoman ran late. But there is no need to barge into my office. I see you invited your friends here as well.
We were in the middle of a very important business meeting.
Yeah, I get so rude when things try to kill me.
Zack! What are you talking about?
A few minutes ago, when I was waiting for you in the library, two bots rolled in and tried to send me to meet my maker.
Zack, I'm so sorry. I thought for sure we had all the bots back under our control.
I didn't say you didn't.
She tilted her head to the side and looked at me. She put her hand on her chest.
Zack, what are you implying?
I'm just saying that it's possible that somebody else at the pool, one of your elves maybe, has something against me.
Zack, I know in my heart of hearts none of my elves would try to kill you.
What about one of your other guests?
I'll have my elves look into that.
Bim and Norb said that you had a grand scheme to remodel the world in your own image with a happy virus.
Zack, I can assure you I am only on this earth to make people happy.
That's not a denial.
Didn't Bim and Norp try to kill you?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they were lying. Elektra and Tony have wanted to kill me on many occasions.
Elektra nodded.
Amen.
I've had my moments, too.
But that doesn't mean I don't listen to them when they tell me something.
Actually, you don't usually listen to me.
You could teach a course on how to not listen.
See, listening isn't one of your better skills, mi amor.
The point is, I believe Bim and Norp are onto something. That doesn't explain why the bots tried to kill me after those two jokers were locked up.
Then, almost on cue, a hectic Elf 3333 burst into the office.
Santana, I'm sorry to interrupt such an important meeting, but a scan of the bots showed that approximately 32 minutes and 15 seconds ago, we lost control of two of our guard bots. I did a system scan, and apparently those two nasty Martians had planted some sort of backdoor virus that made them go wild. I was able to break some of the code. It was, kill Zack deader than dead at all costs. We should warn him.
I consider myself warned.
Elf 3333 turned to me, startled. She was so intent on delivering her message, she hadn't even noticed me in the room.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You are in grave danger. We've lost complete track of the bots. They're off our radar.
They're off everybody's radar.
Elektra lifted the rocket launcher on her shoulder.
Oh, I understand. As much as I deplore violence, nice job.
She gave Elektra a big thumbs up and left the room.
Can you explain how Bim and Norp sent bots to attack me before anybody knew I was coming? Or how they sent a killer posing as an SSS member after me?
Just then, Elf 2436 ran into the room.
Oh, Santana, I've just busted Bim's and Norp's encryption program. It seems they've been tapping into your personal logs and records since they got here.
Everybody looked at me.
Okay, maybe you can explain that.
You got me, Zack. I have an evil plan. I am going to use the holiday to infect the entire world with a happy virus.
When I heard Santana say those words, it sounded totally ridiculous. I knew then and there it was true. It was all true.
Harv, are you analyzing her voice patterns?
Sorry, Zack. There's some sort of interference in her office. I can't record or analyze anything. I'm having a hard enough time just staying online.
Thanks, Santana. You've been a big help.
My pleasure. Now, if your guests would like to stay the evening, I will have my elves find them rooms. Now, if you don't mind, Stormy and I do have some very serious matters to attend to. I will see you all at dinner.
Everybody in my group smiled except me.
Zack, thank you for stopping by and for not kicking my door down.
Yep, she was guilty, all right. It didn't take long at all for the elves to find suitable quarters for Randy and Tony. Randy was keen to share a room if it would make it easier on the elves, but Tony quickly shot down that idea. Randy liked the idea of having a human roomie to hang out with. Randy didn't get much human contact. Tony, on the other hand, got way too much human contact. He relished his privacy as much as Randy welcomed the companionship. The elves were able to get them adjoining rooms, which made them both happy. They confiscated Electra's rocket launcher, Tony's sidearms, and Randy's gadgets. The elves insisted they were totally, absolutely certain they had complete control over the bots, and we would have no need for our weapons. I didn't mind giving them up, because knowing my friends, they each had something up their sleeve.
So, mi amor, you don't believe Santana?
I moved over to the bed and sat down next to Electra.
I don't like it when you sigh.
For some reason, I believe the geeks.
Probably because deep down, you are one of them.
I wanted to give her a witty retort, but her joke hit home. Sure, I'm a tough guy. Sure, I can punch with the best of them. But when push comes to shove, I am a guy with a computer wired directly to my brain. If that didn't mean I was a geek, I didn't know what it meant.
What evidence do you have that Santana has these evil plans?
You sound like Tony. She just looked at me. I was used to getting that look from other people, but not from Electra.
I've seen the technology here. It's pretty amazing.
Your point being?
I think she has the means to pull it off.
Pull what off, Zack?
Making everybody nice, and then sterilizing them?
Zack, you heard how preposterous that sounded when Santana admitted to it.
Honey, when you're me, outrageous and absurd is what you expect.
She smiled and put her hand on my back.
That's why I love you. When you latch onto something, you don't let go.
Yeah, dogs with bones have nothing on me.
Greetings, my fellow elves and our guests here at the pole. I have a super-duper special announcement. Santana will be delivering a super-duper special message to us all in the auditorium in 15 minutes sharp. Your attendance is mandatory. Have a great, great, happy, happy day!
A special announcement about a special announcement?
Yeah, isn't that special?
That's a reference to something, isn't it?
That's right. I'm impressed.
I've been hanging around with you too long.
Hey, at least you're not attached to his brain.
I stood up and turned to Electra.
Let's go!
Zack, on the off chance that you're right about Santana, this could be a trap.
Exactly. Let's get going.
Electra pushed herself up from the bed with one arm.
What's wrong, mi amor? If you're so convinced I'm wrong, this shouldn't be anything.
I was certain you were wrong until that announcement. Now I know you're onto something.
See? I'm contagious.
Why are you so anxious to walk into a trap?
It's not a trap if I know it's a trap.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's not as good of a trap if I can see it coming. Maybe I can put the kibosh on it before she's ready. Either way, I've been in this elf suit long enough. I'm ready for the end of the game.
In that case, wait. You're going to need something else.
She went into the closet and came out carrying a suitcase.
How the tweet did you smuggle that here?
I brought it with us. I told the elves it was my allergy medicine.
She walked over and put the suitcase on the bed.
You must have a lot of allergies.
Elves are trusting little beings.
I moved over next to her. Sure enough, the suitcase was lined with medications.
That's a holographic cover.
Very good, Harve.
The elves were really busy at the time.
She pushed a button on the bottom of the suitcase. The medications vanished and were replaced by my regular clothing, my body armor, my wrist communicator, never hurts to have a backup, my gun, a couple of energy weapons, and best of all, my fedora, that Harvard talked me out of taking.
What? No belt and trench coat?
Sorry, I like to travel light.
You know you are totally breaking protocol by changing like this.
Yeah, I know that. Protocol kind of went out the door the last time the bots tried to kill me.
I know. I just felt obligated to point it out.
I was fully dressed in less than a minute. With my gun up my sleeve and my armor underneath, it was the first time I felt comfortable since I arrived at the pole. I'm sure I didn't want to think about it too much.
Now, let's get this show on the road.